But when we started talking to many of these sustainability role models in Scandinavia, they said that we will never outsource our production to India because we will lose control on the supply chain. When we work with local production, we are able to control them very well. If we move the production to India or Asia, we have to keep on flying, and generally that is against our philosophy. And that triggered a thought that maybe we can bring a force of good by connecting the businesses in Scandinavia to do their production in India to do this. So we said that through data technologies, we can actually bring almost real-time events to you. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vedya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Shamik Ghosh, co-founder and chief executive officer of TrustTrace, platform for product traceability. He joins us from Stockholm, Sweden. Welcome, Shamik.
Hi, Vidya. Happy to be here.
Most of our regular listeners have heard the statistics about fast fashion and its impact on our climate and our planet. The numbers, they contribute about 4% to the greenhouse gases. Then there's water pollution, farm practices in case of natural fiber, or petroleum products in case of man-made fibers. The list goes on and on. So say I was manufacturing a t-shirt. Walk me through a life of a t-shirt.
So t-shirt is still quite a simple product there, but maybe we can just talk about it. So typically in the fashion supply chain, brand typically is working with a direct supplier, which in normal jargon is called, or in the fashion industry jargon is called, tier one supplier. Then there is a tier two supplier, which is supplying the fabric. Then there's a tier three supplier, which is supplying the yarn, or dyed yarn, or the dyeing process can be at a tier three level or tier two level also. Then you will have the raw material coming. And if it is a natural fiber, you will do some sort of a cleaning called ginning, and spinning comes after that. So typically a fashion supply chain will have at least tier 5 to tier 6, depending upon what kind of raw materials you are using. And this is for a very, very simple t-shirt. You are going as far as that there. The bill of material for a winter jacket, which is very, very, of course, popular in Sweden or Scandinavia, can consist of at least 25 different line items, which can be three different fabrics, padding, down feather, zippers, multiple different kind of buttons. Think about the complexity that you multiply that with so many different line items, and if you want to map it to tier 5 or tier 6 of that. And now on top of it, that you are adding millions of product which is to be produced. And in fashion, complexity is much higher because it is a very, very long supply chain. The supply chain for any garment can start as far as Australia, New Zealand, can travel via Asia, South Europe, and to US also. You're talking about billions of touch points for over throughout the year.
Oh, that sounds pretty complex. But why is this traceability really important? You know, why do I care where my fabric? All I want is a good quality of good value product.
So I think the word quality is the loaded word there. So what we consider quality has always been, okay, I will get certain quality that is assured to me by the brand and I will get it. But the quality has got a very different connotation, impact also on the supply chain. Fashion supply chain, as you rightly mentioned, is known to have a very, very high product environmental footprint, product social footprint, and product's ethical footprint.
Okay, so let's break it down to each of the components, right? So let's go social, because most of us, when we think about anything made in some other country, we're like, oh, did they use child labor? That's the first thing that all of us intuitively, it is jarring. It sounds not okay, unfair labor practice. So let's start about labor practices.
So just so that you know, all taken together, you are typically talking about 585 different attributes. It can be that complex, but typically a brand covers around 30 to 40 odd attributes across environmental, social, and ethical aspects of it. So social, let's dive deeper into that part of it, right? So it can consist of fair wages. Are you paying your employees the fair wages or living wages? That is the big controversy going on, that people should be paid living wages, not fair wages. Then you have got, do you allow the people to unionize so that they can at least have a voice for them to protest or say in the decision making across the supply chain? You are talking about child labor. You are talking about women exploitation, fair working conditions, and it is broadly around 10 to 15 such parameters that you are talking about. In an environment where only the brand knows the tier one supplier, so there is a lot of neglect that happens at a tier two, tier three, and a tier four supplier.
So what is the difference between fair wages and living wage? Living wage, I know, based on the cost of living index, it's pegged to that. But what is the difference between that and fair wages?
So, for example, the four co-founders of TrustWise come from India, and I will just maybe take India as a context, right? Indian government would have said that for any laborer or any worker who is working in a factory, suppose X dollars or converted into Indian rupees is the fair wage. This is a wage that is typically set by the government, and typically it is always kept a little bit on the lower side. Typically, a fair wage movement change adjustment only happens once in a 10 years. 10 years is a long period. So then you typically are talking about living wages, because when you are in a particular town or a city, you know what does it take to survive in that city. For example, Indian government will typically say, suppose 100 rupees per hour is the fair wage in state of Maharashtra. But we know that the wage in Bombay has to be much higher compared to another tier two city like Nagpur, right? How do you typically adjust to that kind of an aspects of it? That is why NGOs have always been saying that the wages in the supply chain should be set to the living wages rather than the fair wages, so that they can have a decent life outside the work hours also.
So fair wage is something that is regulated. It's similar to the minimum wages that we have in the United States.
That's right. Largely.
So let's move to the second part, the ethical part.
So ethical part, because a lot of product is also coming from sources from animals. So are you taking care of animal welfare? Are you taking care of their decent well-being aspects of it? So that is the most critical part. But apart from that, also generally the ethics of the business, that are you being a good neighbor? Do you take care of the local communities in that? For example, in the fashion industry, it is quite common people just import cheap labor and get the work done, right? But that means you are creating a friction in the society. So such kind of ethical behavior, and there are business ethics setups are there, and similar attributes are mentioned there. What are the focus that you want to do there?
Now we go on to the third part, the environmental impact. And that is the past year, people have been talking about it more than ever before, I feel.
So environmental, in fact, has got multiple different facets to it. And I think most of the people have been talking about greenhouse gases, but I think we should not neglect the other aspects of it, like eutrophication, like soil erosion, like land usage, like water intensity, or typically the freshwater intensity aspects, then chemical usage, which has got a significant impact on the local ecosystem there, and the impact on the rainforest, because rainforest that you lose now, even if you think of growing it back, it will take 70 years for it to come to at least 50% of the diversity that rainforest has. So biodiversity is also critical for us to keep in mind when you're talking about environmental. So you cannot be unidimensional about being greenhouse gases. You have to take ecosystem, because what you're destroying is an ecosystem, not one dimension of it.
I want to step back a little bit. Eutrophication is runoff from the fields, from the factories.
Eutrophication is caused because of excessive growth of plant and algal growth due to high amount of nutrients like fertilizers that run from the fields into the water.
This is such a complex subject, you know, just even when we started with just a t-shirt, and then moved on to a jacket.
That's right.
How did you get into this? Were you in the fashion industry? Were you in the IT technology area?
So we have a very, very, I think, interesting story. It took a big turn. So we are four co-founders. We used to work together in a large Indian IT services company called HCL, billions of dollars in revenue, and we were doing quite well in that setup. We had worked with a lot of automotive industrial companies in their digital transformation journey, and we were working together for almost 6 years before starting TrustRace. 2016, as I was finishing my executive MBA, one of the co-founders, Sarva, he actually was working in the UK, and he decided to move back to Coimbatore, which is in the southern part of India, very close to a big textile hub called Tirupur there. And we were quite curious to understand, because he was doing very well professionally and all, that why is he moving back? And he said that, hey, we have got